Well, that was great. Ron, I didn't know you had that kind of rhythm, my friend. Wow. Wow, I almost had a beat going there. That was awesome. Well, God's good. Amen? Amen. I know what most of you are thinking. I am so glad Kevin didn't ask me to do that, right? Wow, that was a blessing. Thank you, Kevin. God is good. Got your Bibles, we're going to be back in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, we've been studying Romans for several weeks. And I had mentioned then that we would stay in Romans through Easter Sunday morning. And so we're going to be in Romans chapter 1, your Bible's open there. And I'll read the text in just a second. Folks, I want you to know there's just so many other things that have happened in the past, really 27 years since I've been here, but the building part, the 21, 22 years that we've been building, the sacrifices people have made. Some of you, let's say you've been here 8 years and you really had no idea what the past, what we had done in the past. You may not even have paid attention to a budget and known that we were still paying $3,000, $4,000 a month. But even if you didn't know, because you're a faithful giver to Redland, you've been a part of paying off this debt. Even for those, and I just can't tell you the number of people that, a lot of them aren't here. I've got a list of people that have gone on to be with Jesus. They were my friends. They were part of the sheepfold here at Redland. And they were part of laying that foundation of some of the building things I told you about. And when I was talking about when we first started in 04, 05, paying that kind of money down each, we paid $1,500 a month on principal every month for years, in addition to making the payment. And there's a lot of people no longer here that were a part of that. And I'm grateful. But folks, we have somewhere to go now. Amen? We don't need, we may one day, I know we're going to have to remodel the kitchen and do some things in the fellowship hall. And that'll happen one day. We don't have to have any more space. We have plenty of space. We may choose differently in the days to come. But we need to fill up the space. We've got the facilities. Some of you don't even know we have a three-day-a-week school we've had for 7 years. Our Mother's Day Out program, our First Steps, now in its seventh year of teaching boys and girls. And we have, and we teach the Bible. They 3 days a week from 8-ish to 12:30-ish. We teach 60 kids 3 days a week over in our building. And that's why we built the way we did, is so we could do things like that. I was with your Bibles. I'm going to preach. Give me just a second. But there's so many things. I had all these ministries that we had talked about starting when we started building. After we finished the sanctuary, and then we needed the space, and so we started talking about, this is a bulletin from 2010. And no, I want you to know it's about Christ. I'm going to preach about the resurrection, but just reminiscing a little bit. In 2010, this is in September of 2010, we finished that building in 2011. We had three groups of people. It was our deacons, the staff and deacons, stewardship team, and then we have a team called the Vision, Strategy, and Design Team. So those three teams were involved in, whether it's this building, Fellowship Hall, other things, these three groups of people worked together to present these things to the church. I'm looking at a bulletin from 2010. This is what's in there. This is a Sunday morning bulletin. It says that after 18 months of meetings, interviews, research, prayer, and discussion, the VSD team and deacons and stewardship team, that we are excited to share our information and recommendations for the next building phase for Redland Baptist Church. And then it says, we trust that you'll meet us on Sunday night, October the 3rd, for Q&A time as we talked about that building. Matter of fact, at that meeting, somebody recommended that we start construction immediately, and then we did. And surprisingly, a church member is the one that started the process because he could drive a bulldozer, and so it wasn't long after that he was doing bulldozing work in the back. And so then we built that building. Names, let me give you some of the names that have gone on to be with the Lord. And John Brooks, Dale and Claudine Howard, the Wisemans, Betty Ray Wiseman, Richard and Inez Quattlebaum, Charles Merle. Charles was our building superintendent, if that's what you want to call him, when we built that back building. Wade Nobles, Ray Studdard, Bill Scott. I'll just tell you this, if Ben had not been injured and passed away, we would have done this better and quicker. Ben was a loss for me. I want you to know that. It's been a long time ago, but it was a loss for me. And he was a cog in our vision and was injured and passed away soon after we dedicated this sanctuary. Virgil Esco, Carl and Eloise Hyde, the Hicks, Ken and Joanne Maddox, I may have mentioned, Carl Johnson, Margaret Thrift, Ola May, Dean Miller, Rosalie Hall, goes way back, Marie Calmer, John Gibbons, the Gardeners, Ken and Von Seal. These people, and TJ, look at TJ Esco, Charlotte Hobson, ran our prayer ministry forever, the Rose, just on and on and on, these people that gave. I was visiting one of our senior saints, matter of fact, two of them, in the last couple of weeks, and they mentioned to me, Brother Bryce, you do know that every month our family gave over and above to the debt reduction. And it was those kinds of families over the course of all these years that has enabled us, even though 21 years is a long time, has enabled us to pay 1.6 and have our buildings and be debt free. God is good. Amen. Your Bible's in Romans chapter 1. This is profound stuff. And when you think about, and you could pick any of the epistles and I could preach on the resurrection. So Paul's writing to the Christians at Rome. We've talked a little bit about the history. We've been over in Romans chapter 5, 6, and 7 for several weeks. But I want to read the introduction of Paul's writing to the Christians at Rome. Paul had not been to Rome yet. His goal, you can read that in the book of Acts, he always talked about his goal was to go to Rome, the capital of the world that he knew. That was the capital, the empire, the capital of the empire. He wanted to go there. He finally did go there, but he was a prisoner. And so Paul's writing to the Christians that are at Rome. Let's just say this is 25 years or so after Christ had been raised from the dead. The church had been in existence. The church had been born soon thereafter. So for about 25 years, the church had been in existence. And so Paul somehow, well, we know how, people heard the gospel at Pentecost. They took the word back to Rome and a church was founded somehow, some way. And so Paul's writing to the believers at Rome. I want you to listen to what he says, and we're going to look at some specific things. I think in your bulletin it says, Deity Declared. I think that's the name of my sermon because he was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection of the dead. We'll read that in just a minute. I was telling the church at our, keep saying sunrise, I want to say sunrise, at our early service in our resurrection service, Every time I think about, by the way, every day is the resurrection day for me. I want you to know that. I say that every year. I love Easter Sunday. This is the Lord's day. The Lord's day is the Lord's day because Christ rose from the dead. You understand that? Amen? You read the book of Acts. That's why they met on Sunday, as we know the day, Sunday. It was no longer Saturday, the Sabbath. It was the Lord's day on Sunday. It wasn't the last day of the week. It's the first day of the week. We start everything because of Christ. But I mentioned to the group that was at resurrection service about John's recording of all the things that happened after the resurrection, and how I love it when the women went back to the men. And these were godly women. They had been faithful to Christ for all 3 years of his ministry. And I'm sure some of them were wealthy, and they helped financially support the ministry of the Lord Jesus. But they see the empty tomb, they go back, and they tell the disciples, and if you'll remember what it says, they thought it was idle talk. And when they heard him say, the tomb's empty, the stone's been rolled away, his grave closed, nobody was there. And it says they believed it was idle talk, but Peter and John run. They're curious enough to want to run, so they run. In the Bible, it has metaphors where it talks about spiritually running, but very seldom in the Bible do you have people physically running. And the times it appears is you're running from the tomb and you're running back to the tomb. Isn't that interesting? Hey, that's worthy of our effort. Am I right? The cross and the resurrection is worthy of our efforts. And so I think that's a great picture of that. But anyway, talking about the resurrection appearances. Christ showed up on Sunday night. He showed that morning on the road to Emmaus, the two disciples there. Wouldn't you love to have been a raccoon in a ditch listening to that crazy conversation on the road to Emmaus when they're saying, "Have you not heard? Did you not hear?" And they're talking to Jesus, that this Jesus that's crucified, and the rumors are that he's alive and we don't know what's going on. And they're talking to Christ. And they get to their destination, and then Jesus reveals himself to them and then disappears. That same night, Sunday night, he appears in the upper room. And I say all that to say this, somebody wasn't there. And it was who? Who wasn't there? Thomas. Thomas wasn't there. And somebody said Judas, and that's right, he wasn't there either. So doubting Thomas, Thomas says, I don't believe you. I don't believe. Unless I see the nail prints, I'm not going to believe. And of course, you know, John 20, I think it says, and Jesus appeared to him right there. And he says, Jesus says, take your finger and stick it here. And he says, I'm flesh and blood. See. And he says, believe. And of course, I'll ask the question, you ever think, what did Thomas do? Do you think he stuck his finger in the hole in his side and examined the nail prints in his hands and wrist? No, I think the text is pretty clear what he did. He fell down on his knees and said, my Lord and my God. Amen? Then Jesus says to him, you've believed because you've seen. And here's for us. He says, you believe because you've seen. And then Jesus, our Lord, says, blessed are those who have not seen but yet believe. That's me and you. And be honest with you, that's most of Christianity, is it not? Most believers did not see Jesus physically resurrected from the dead. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, the word servant can be translated slave. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by His resurrection from the dead. Let me read that again. Who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness. That's very significant, because He was the Lamb without blemish. Right? Right? He was the Lamb without blemish. He was without sin. What's the wages of sin? But Jesus didn't sin. So that's why the Bible says it was impossible. It was impossible for the grave to hold Him. Impossible. No sin, no death. And so it says, according to the Spirit of holiness, by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I pray that all of you can say that and it be real. There's a lot of confession, but not so much possession. Is Jesus Lord? The Spirit of holiness by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of His name. In the Old Testament, dozens and dozens of times, the Lord would do something and respond to something, and He would say to His prophets, or He would say to Abraham or Moses, "For my name's sake." It's about the sake of His name. This is why Peter would do much of the same thing, would talk about how we as believers that say we believe in the resurrection, that Christ has given us new life because He's alive. He gives us life. He indwells us with His presence. He's called the Holy Spirit. And because we claim those things, we ought to live those things. A lot of confessing, but very few possessing it in the world that we live in. Through whom we have received grace, God's unmerited favor, unearned mercy, whatever term, definition you want to use, we have received grace. We are saved by grace through what? Faith. Not by the works of man. Not of works, Paul says, lest anyone could boast. Is it possible for you to save yourself? It's not possible. The law condemns. I love what Paul tells the Galatians. The law is a school teacher. He calls him a schoolmaster. The law of God, the Word of God, the requirements of righteousness, what the Bible requires of us, is like a school teacher. And that school teacher, God's Word, keeps telling us, you're a sinner and you need a Savior. That's what it tells me. And now that I'm saved, it tells me, thank you, Jesus, for saving this sinner. Amen? Some of you can't say that. Well, look what the rest of this says. Through whom we have received grace, and I always give you this acrostic, God's, it's an acrostic, God's, G, redemptive, R, act, A, God's redemptive act, C, concerning eternity, or God's riches at Christ's expense. God's grace. So we have received grace and apostleship to bring about, and here's what we're going to talk about this morning, just a little while, to bring about. So the power of the resurrection, the cross, died. Christ died on the cross on Friday, raised on Sunday, conquered, paid our sin debt, raised from the dead. He's our victory. And what's the consequences for us? He says, look what it says. It's about to bring about. Why did he do all that? To bring about the obedience of faith. Why? For the sake of his name. For the sake of his name. Among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus. You are to bear the obedience of faith. You know, if you're telling me and you're confessing to others that you've met the resurrected Christ, if you've met the resurrected Christ, the Bible says that there ought to be a life of obedience in you. He says in verse 7, to all those in Rome who are loved by God. Are you looking at your Bibles? We dealt with this last week. 2 weeks in a row. To all those in Rome who are loved by God. Think about how significant that is in 25 years. You know, the Jews, because we studied this on Wednesday night, you know, they struggled with, can God save Gentiles? Talk about what the book of Acts tells us, that some of the Jewish Christians didn't think Gentiles could be saved. Aren't you glad God saves Gentiles? Amen. So they, Peter, watched Gentiles hear the gospel and get saved. Paul was called specifically to go to the Gentiles. So at that council in Acts 15, they realized the same power that saves us as Jews is the same truth and gospel that saves Gentiles. It's for everybody. So he's in these Romans. I mean, they're Gentiles. He says, to all those in Rome who are loved by God. See, that's what it means for God to love the world. Right? He can save anybody, anywhere, all over the world. In the old covenant, his covenant was to a nation. And if that nation didn't go out and proselyte, people didn't know. But now it's about the gospel message of Christ resurrected from the dead. The good news, right? The gospel. This Paul starts the whole thing out and says it's about the gospel of Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God. And I love this phrase. You know I love this phrase. I say it all the time. Called. Are you looking at your Bibles? Called to be what? Saints. Called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Saints, sanctification, all these words are connected. Another word, I'm sure you know this, but I'm going to say it so you don't have to, is the word holiness, the same root word for holiness, the same is the same root word for saints, the same root word for sanctified. Isn't that interesting? We're sanctified in Christ Jesus. It means set apart as holy. Saints are holy ones. We're called to be saints. And just let me just mention, none of us are saintly save the grace of God poured in our hearts, right? There's absolutely nothing about me apart from Christ that has anything to do with sainthood. But we are all saints in Christ because He's purged us from our sins, forgave us, changed our lives, set us free, and has called us to be holy. So we are His, holy ones. Tell you what, hold your finger. I love, that's one of my great phrases. Hold your finger here at Romans 1. Go to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1. You know, I just, of course, Revelation, the book of Revelation given to John, the Apostle John, was written, John was given the revelation, and the whole thing is for the church, for us, for the church. And we know that by reading on and finding in chapter 2 and 3 is seven churches that Jesus speaks about and wants John to send the whole book of Revelation to these seven churches. So the revelation is to the church. It's us. We should want to know what's in the book of Revelation. Jesus is appearing to John. Now, sometimes an angel would communicate with John, but in John 1, it's Christ. It's the resurrected Christ. John was 95 years old, thereabouts, when he got the revelation and wrote it. Look what he says. I'm in chapter 1. This is John responding to the voice of God. Because it says, write in a book, if you're looking at verse 11, write in a book, the verse 12. They said, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. We're studying this in our class, and we know those seven golden lampstands represents the churches. It says, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe, and with a golden sash around his chest. Looks like a high priest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. You think Christ is pure? He was sinless on this earth. He's glorious in His holiness and purity in heaven. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. And His voice was like the roar of many waters. In His right hand He held seven stars. From His mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. Now, you don't take that literal. That's symbolic. And His face was like the sun shining in full strength. Look what it says in verse 17. When I saw Him, this is John. John was His cousin. John was the beloved disciple. John lived longer than any other apostle. John saw 60 some odd years of the Christian church. All the other apostles were dead by the late 60s, executed, some into the 70s. Verse 17. He sat beside Christ at the Lord's Supper. That's where he sat. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Christ is resurrected, my friends, and Jesus is Lord, right? Jesus is Lord. Yes, he's your shepherd. Yes, he is. He has given you his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, but he is the eternal Son, glorified, totally separate from sinners. And he's ready to judge the quick and the dead, the Bible says. Look what it says. So it says, though I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. He passed out. But he laid his right hand on me. And look what Jesus says to him. This is 95 AD-ish. Jesus gives John a revelation of the rest of history. Okay? The life of John. He's going to tell John about the church age. Mentioned seven churches. And then he's going to tell him everything that's going to happen after the church age. Beginning at chapter 4, verse 1. Because he says, after this, after the church age. And of course, that's where the church isn't there. From chapter 4 to 20, church is gone. Because that's what goes on there is not here for the church. What happens after the church is taken away. Look what he says. Look what he says. I'm in Revelation 1, verse, the end of verse 7. Fear not. I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen? Look what's... I have the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore. Write. Write. Don't make a statue. Don't draw a picture. Write. Write. Grapho. Write. Don't you love His Word? Don't you love His Word? Write. I can see in God's Word so much more than I can see in a trinket, some religious trinket. These are His words. He tells John, write. Therefore, the things that you have seen, those that are, and those that are to take place after this. That's the whole book of Revelation. That's an outline. My class knows that. Revelation 1:19 outlines the whole book. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, where's the church? And the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the messengers, angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Do you think Jesus cares about the church? Yes. It's right here. He cares about the church. You know, when we study in the doctrine of the church on Wednesdays and we talk about being His body, that we are the body of Christ, we're His building, we're His bride, we're the sheepfold, He's the vine, we're the all these things. He's the eternal Son. And He holds us in His right. And if you read, think about what He described. When John describes what he saw, Jesus is judging, He's discerning the purity. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And I love it where He says, I died. He's telling John this, I died, but I'm alive forevermore. You know, I know that's true. You know how I know? I've met Him. I've met Him. Oh, He audibly didn't speak to me, but let me tell you how He did speak to me. Right here in this book that He had written. Written for me and you. I know He's alive. I met Him. And so when I met Him, He forgave me of my sins, right? In salvation, I pleaded for mercy and understood He died and why He died. And if I'm going to pay for my sins, I'm going to go to hell. The wages of sin is death and separation. So I repented, and I'm a sinner, wicked sinner. I surrendered my will to Him, and He not only saved me from sin, He didn't save me in my sin, He saved me from my sin, but He made me a new creature. His life was planted in me. See, that's what's great about the Holy Spirit. He did it to you too, right? That's right. He did it to you too. That's why we celebrate the resurrection. He lives. You ask me how, and of course there's proof He's alive anyway, but you ask me how I know He lives. He lives where? That's right. So it says He tabernacled inside of me at salvation. And He's the Holy Spirit, but also the Holy Spirit's also the Spirit of Christ by name too. And so He's in me. Well, we're out of time. Go back to, well, we're not out of time, but we kind of are. So go back to Romans 1. Let me share with you two or three things to think about. Romans 1, I know I'm 2 minutes over. So the obedience of faith. It's all about the obedience of faith. Christ saved you. He redeemed you. He made you new. You were born again. Whatever term you want to do, you want to use for you. Being saved and born again and knowing the Christ that is alive. Experiencing the resurrection. You know, not missing Easter. Many people miss Christmas. They have no idea the Christ of Christ. Some people in church today are going to miss the resurrection. They have no idea about the new birth and what the life of Christ means through repentance and faith in Him. The obedience of faith. Now, I'm just going to share with you I'm going to be late. How about that? There's an update. Check it. I'm going to just give you these and we'll look at them again next Sunday. Okay, here. Don't say the obedience. Number one. Now, think about what we got to do. If I'm alive, I love the song, you know, I'm alive and I'm forgiven. You know, I forgot the name of the song, but it's good. Anyway, number one, you ready? If the obedience of faith, here's, and again, you could write your own four or five things. This is just me. Number one, I have to eradicate the idol of self. Now, you with me? Eradicate, eliminate would be another word. I need to eradicate the idol of self or the idolatry of self. Even though God saved me and made me new, I'm living with an old nature, the remnants of that old nature. Paul calls it this body of death. And I do things and think things and say things that embarrass my Lord. So if I'm serious and you're serious about the obedience of faith, we have to eradicate our own personal idolatry, love and self. You come to my house sometimes, my welcome mat says, "Welcome to the kingdom of me." I struggle, you struggle with the idolatry of self. I love me sometimes more than I love Him. So eradicate your idolatrous self. Two, intentionally equipping yourself for service. Okay? We're dealing with that tons on Wednesday nights. If it's true and you're alive in Christ, you want to be intentional to equip yourself to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you serve Him? Yeah. Third thing is that you want to meditate on the fact that the Savior's Spirit has now endued you with His life. You with me? So the life of Christ endued, like in going in an envelope, like the Spirit of God, His Spirit has tabernacled inside of me to give me His life. I have to realize that. That's why Paul, all through his writings, would say, "Walk in the Spirit, and you won't carry out the desires of the flesh." I'm empowered by that Spirit, but I'm also purified by that Spirit. I can't sin and get away with it. Can you? No. God, what it was, Diane and I were fussing about something. Is she in here? Good. It was her fault, but let's move on. We were fussing about something. And I said something stupid, smart aleckly. I forgot. I do that all the time and get mad. Men do that in defense. If we know we're stuck in something, we say something stupid so we can walk off like we're mad, go play defense and stay away from you until you cool off. But she didn't have to tell me I'd done wrong, did she? But sometimes she does add that to me. But I know. And it's because His Spirit's in me. And folks, you know me. But because Christ has been resurrected from the dead, I'd rather live more like Him than live more like me. Right? So here's the fourth thing. That there's four. So eradicate self, equip, be serious about equipping, understand that the endued with His presence. And the fourth thing would be, I want to be imperative. That's like you would say, I must, I have to. I want to be imperative about sacrificing like Christ. Take up my cross. You with me? Folks, you can live the Christian life in comfort. mediocrity, simplicity. But I want to live crucified. Because if you lose it, if you lose, your life, guess what you're going to find? You're going to find it. When was the last time any of us wanted to be crucified to self? But it's imperative because that's the example He left us. You know, Paul says that I might know Him, that I might know Him and be conformed to His sufferings. Know the power of His resurrection. Oh, yeah, I want a new body. But to be conformed to His sufferings. Folks, here's the great news about the resurrection. The body that you're going to get put in the grave, because He's the first fruits. The body, when the people I've mentioned that buried and gone on, when we see them again, it's that same person we're going to see. They knew Jesus was resurrected from the dead. He was Him, but He was in a body that showed scars. But He was a man, but a glorified man. If He's the first fruits, guess what's going to happen to you? The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those of us who are alive remain. We'll call it meet the Lord in the air. And we will be metamorphosed when we're in His presence. Isn't that exciting to know you're not going to live in a body of sin? Amen? If you don't say amen, I'm not going to stop. Hey, let's stand. We're going to sing Christ in Me. I love this song. This is going to be our benediction. And Christ in Me, come and lead us, Kevin. Christ in Me. We know the song. The words on the screen, hopefully, maybe. Yeah, I knew they were. God's good. Amen. Hope you'll have a great afternoon. Let's sing this like we mean it.